Well, basically, our flotilla was attacked in international waters. Some of our members were murdered, and it was like a bloody Sunday on the high seas.
How close were you to these events?
I was on the MV Challenger 1, US registered vessel, and we were 17 on board. We were leading the flotilla beside the MV Marmara, the large Turkish liner, which was attacked violently and fatally. I was an eyewitness to the attack on the large Turkish ship, and they used different attack methods straight away, including live ammunition from both the air and the sea, shooting indiscriminately at anybody who was at anybody they could hit.
Afterwards, how were you treated? What happened to you next when you were taken into Israeli custody?
Well, our ship took off. We went as fast as we could. We had the fastest ship in the flotilla, so we saw the violence. We saw, and our captain took the decision. We were trying to outrun them, so we went at 19 knots. The ribs couldn't board at that speed. At which stage we saw another vessel with the light coming out from port side, and we believed that they would ram us. We did not have a steel hull, so the captain took the decision to then to stop the vessel. They boarded, they brutalized people, they particularly picked on the women and elderly. There was a retired US colonel on board, and in a way to sort of get a reaction out of us. At different stages, they were incredibly violent in their behaviour.
So they were trying to incite a reaction, are you saying?
They were, for example, when we got to Ashdod, we said we were not leaving until we wanted to see an embassy official on board. We wanted to see a lawyer on board. As far as we were concerned, we'd been kidnapped on the high seas. We'd been brought to Israel against our wishes. None of us had ever wanted to go to Israeli territory on this trip. And we linked arms and said we would not go anywhere. And in order to try and stop us, they picked on the oldest members, retired U.S. Colonel Anne Wright and another person. But they tried to manhandle the colonel, at which point I said, leave her alone. My voice got up a little bit. I shouted, I said, do not touch her, leave her alone. At which point one of the commanders who came on from the dock, he got on, he pulled a taser and put it to my head. He threatened to shoot me. So I decided that the best plan was then to say that that if he put his taser away and that particular commando left the ship, then I would go of my own will onto Israeli soil. And as soon as I got onto the port, I told everybody, there was assembled media, mostly Israeli, that I demanded to see an embassy official and that they were threatening to tase and shoot people on board.
And once you were actually taken into custody, once you and your fellow travellers there, how were you actually treated?
Appallingly. We had no legal rights, we had no civil rights, we had no human rights. To quote one of the commandos, commando number 20, that's how he identified himself, he said, you will get your rights when you get to Israel, because he admitted that we had no rights. They threatened to beat us up. When one of the Dutch ladies opened the window for air, they closed all the curtains as we came close to the port because they didn't want the media to see into the ship. They got rid of the broken glass and stuff like this to try and they removed the flags of the vessels, and then we just wanted an open window to get some air because there were a number of us in the main cabin. When the woman opened the window, he stood over her, said, close the window. And she said, no, I need air. And he shouted at her with intent, with his hand on his weapon. And he said, follow the order. And we believe that at any point, one of them could lose their heads. It was possible that the commandos were in some sort of drugs as well. Their eyes were very wide, and one of them had an open mouth at all stage, and they did not look as if they were in their right frame of mind.
Has this level of support that has been in this country, in your own county, not just for you, but for all of the people who took part in this action, has it filtered through to you? Are you encouraged by it?
Absolutely, I've heard a little bit, to be quite honest. I've had one sleep, I've just woken up. Prior to that, I had not slept for 3 days. Yesterday in Istanbul, I made a conscious decision not to check my emails, not to do anything with media, because I've just been through this ordeal, and I'm very thankful. I can feel it without seeing it. I know there's a lot of support out there, but I need a bit of decompression. But I understand that many members of, well, my friends, family, and people from all walks of life have been very supportive, and I do thank people. And I would ask those people to look forward and help us build the next flotilla, because we have to end the illegal siege on Gaza.
How does this affect the whole movement, do you think? As you've just said, sometimes perhaps we overlook that 9 people lost their lives in an awful circumstance.
At least 9 people. We're not actually too sure of the figures. I don't want to say anything before it's confirmed, but there are also some perhaps more appalling details to yet to come out. But yeah, there is. We have to keep our eye focused on the goal, which is to stop the illegal and immoral siege in Gaza. We need to let Israel know that their actions will not go unnoticed from now on. What happened to us happens to Palestinians every day of the week. They just overstepped the mark, and that was their mistake. The soldiers on the ground are so much caught up, they are so indoctrinated that they don't realize that what they do is so reprehensible. Were the eyes of the world to be on them every time, every day of the week, you would be horrified 7 days a week. But the fact is, we are, some of us MPs, some of us are former members of different authorities. Some of us are Americans. Some of us are Israelis, actually, as well.